Good evening, everyone. This is David Noble in Dalgety Bay, and welcome to a special edition of EduTalker. This is the sixth edition. We've been running over the last year and a bit, and usually the bi-monthly EduTalker shows are based around panel discussions on a topic to do with Scottish education. What we've got this evening is something different, however. What we're going to do for the next hour and a half is open up a Skype phone line, and that will enable anybody who has an interest in tonight's topic to phone up and give their opinions, give their thoughts. And if we have more than one person at a time phoning in, then there's a possibility to have a little bit of a discussion. So those people who are listening into the live stream will be aware that the focus of tonight's EduTalker is around the McCormick review, which is looking into the 10-year-old Macron agreement. The McCormick review is an independent review of, as labels itself as an independent review of all aspects of the terms and conditions for Scotland's teachers. Now, those who are well aware of the Macron agreement from 2001 will know that there are roughly eight areas to the agreement that was negotiated back then, and in a moment I'll just very briefly recap on these eight areas, basically taken from the McCormick Review's remit, which itself is taken from the original document, the commonly known as the Macron Agreement. The key links for tonight's show, if you're interested in following what happens or even contributing, are at the EduTalker wiki, and that's at edutalker.pbworks.com. So if you go there, you'll see an outline of the different areas that we may touch on this evening, and be able to get links there to the Macron Agreement itself from 2001, the McCormick Review, which is officially titled the Review of Teacher Employment, to see the remit of the review and the areas that they would like responses to in their consultation, and also a link to the key body that was created back in 2001, the Scottish Negotiating Committee for Teachers, which of course has been very much in the news recently, trying to reach agreement on proposed changes to teachers' paying conditions. In terms of this evening, if you want to call in, and please wait until the appropriate time, the number is an Edinburgh number. It's actually a Skype-in number. So if you want to dial in and give your thoughts on the various areas of the Macron Agreement, the review, then the number to dial is 0131-208-1510. That's 0131-208-1510. And if you call in, I'll very briefly mute the microphones and inform you where you're calling from, and hopefully the post that you're in presently, if that's okay, we'd rather not have anyone phoning in anonymously, but if people feel that they have to remain anonymous, then that's fair enough. So you just call in and very quickly you would be connected live to this online radio stream. Okay, so the outline of the Macron Agreement, I'm just taking this off of the EduTalker wiki. I'm just going to read this verbatim, it shouldn't take too long. So the first, I'll read them out in order 1 to 8, and that'll be the order that I'll be looking for people to phone in. Point 1, the Teachers Agreement, which aimed to enhance the opportunities for professional development, made CPD a condition of service, while also specifying that teachers should undertake a maximum of 35 hours CPD in each working year. It also required that all probationers should be guaranteed a one-year training contract. Point 2, Annex B of the Teachers Agreement outlines duties for classroom, chartered principal, deputy head teacher and head teachers as a guide for the development of specific job descriptions and local authorities. Point 3, the Teachers Agreement created a simplified career structure that included four main grades within both primary and secondary schools: classroom teacher, probationer, main grade or chartered, principal teacher, deputy head teacher and head teacher. The Teachers Agreement specified a contractual 35 hours each for all teachers. Maximum class contact time of 22 and a half hours, and allowance for personal time for preparation and correction of no less than one third of class contact time. The tasks which do not require the teacher to be on school premises can be carried out at time and place of the teacher's choosing, using the remaining collegiate time. The 195 days working year and additional maximum of 35 hours CPD for all teachers. The teachers' agreement was also claimed to introduce substantial pay rises for all teachers. Moving on, the teachers' agreement created the position of charter teacher within Scottish schools as a means of allowing experienced teachers to develop without having to leave the classroom. The teachers' agreement created additional posts for support staff, e.g. classroom assistants, clerical staff, lab technicians, undertaking a range of tasks in Scotland schools. This was to the workload, and Annex E to the teachers' agreement established a list of tasks that should not be routinely carried out by teachers. And nearing the end, the teachers' agreement established the Scottish Negotiating Committee for Teachers, made up of teacher unions, COSLA, representing local authorities, and the Scottish Government. And this body would be responsible for all negotiations on pay and conditions and establishing appeals mechanism. There's also the setting up of local negotiating committees for teachers. And finally, the review has added in that this is a McCormick review that's ongoing and takes evidence until the 21st of April and then reports, I believe, in June. The review intends to consider the overall impact of the teachers' agreement. So there we have it. And in a moment, I'm just going to ask anybody that's listening to a live stream if they'd like to a text contribution via Twitter or email.
I'm with the National CPD team, as some of you might know, and I've been there since June last year. And the work that we do is really all around building capacity on the focus of professional development, of teacher knowledge, of teacher learning, and of teacher capacity building. So that's where I'm coming from, really. And just picking up on what David mentioned there about entitlement versus duty, I think that's really the whole, that's the nub of where we're at with CPD at the moment. And from what I can see, and I'm a wee bit removed now from the nitty-gritty of all these negotiations and of that whole side of things, I'm going to say that right up front, but I think that's really the nub of the whole issue. Is it an entitlement or is it a duty? And I just think we've got to really evaluate where we've come to with CPD, with Macron, and with these 35 hours. It has become a bit of a duty and it has become something that has to be fulfilled. And I don't really think that was ever the intention. And I don't really think we're ever going to get to where we need to be if it's going to be perceived as that 35-hour duty. So that was really what I wanted to say, and I'd be really interested in opening up a discussion about that, because I think we need to look at other ways of supporting teachers with their professional development, because I don't think any of us would ever say it's something we can do without. And you know, I think if you're at that stage where you think it's something you can do without, then you know, there may be all sorts of other questions that you know you need to be asking yourself. But I do think it's integral to the whole idea of professional identity, and I would really like to see it reevaluated in some way.
Katrina, I'm just you know, I'm looking at the McCormick review is asking about professional development within the teachers agreement from 2001. And the two questions, and you know, feel free to answer them or not, but the two questions within this particular area of the Macron agreement, the McCormick review is wanting to know, have the arrangements from 10 years ago led to an improved quality of teaching and learning, and has it helped to develop leadership capacity? So a couple of key questions there, but I'm also interested to what extent you think that the Donaldson review maybe meets these particular challenges. And to what extent is it still important to be covered within the McCormick review?
I think these are really good questions that need to be asked, because, you know, the two most important things about professional are about improved teaching and learning, and especially about improved learning. And I think we need to think about who we're asking these questions of, because, you know, improvements in learning, you know, that these are questions can really only be answered. Well, I mean, certainly they, one way in which they can be answered is by, you know, asking learners if they think there's been improvements in their learning as a result of teacher CPD. And the other, you know, the other issue about leadership capacity, to a certain extent, I think that's been answered in different ways. You know, there's been, there have been leadership pathways which have been established, which people can engage with above and beyond, or maybe alternate to the 35 hours. So in a way, I think that's, you know, that's maybe a separate issue. But certainly, you know, with regard to teaching and learning, I don't think we've really got to the point yet where we can all say that, you know, the CPD that we engage in has an impact on teaching and learning. And that's definitely one of the things that, you know, we in the National CPD team are actively seeking to improve.
In terms of the again, going back to, in particular, to 2001, you know, it talks about this maximum of 35 hours. I mean, do you have an opinion on, should it be, you know, a minute by minute, hour by hour commitment to CPD, or I suppose maybe in the way you've been talking, you're looking for a shift in emphasis away from a duty towards kind of ongoing learning. So do you have thoughts on how that shift, maybe it's more than attitude, maybe it's more about culture, about how maybe how that could be achieved?
Yeah, I think definitely it's I think maybe a shift in mindset is maybe required, not universally, but, you know, I think if there was a sort of more accepted understanding that CPD was something that, you know, you owned as a teacher, it was your entitlement. It's your entitlement to have access to experiences that are going to improve your professional not performance, but, you know, the way you are as a professional. I think seeing that as an entitlement and not as a duty is really crucial to trying to shift that mindset. And, you know, in the wake of all that, there comes the idea of shifting from, you know, CPD is something that's done to you. CPD is something that is done by you and, you know, and it's for you. So I think there is a cultural shift, which I think we're maybe some of us are kind of already embarked on that journey, but, you know, I think there's maybe a bit more of that needs to be done. The other thing was about the number of hours. In a way that's been a helpful thing, and in a way it's been a bit of a stick with which, you know, our backs can be beaten, because I suppose enshrining CPD as an entitlement, you know, with a number of hours is in many ways a good thing. But then it also becomes, you know, it's shifting from that entitlement, and then it becomes something that has to be done. And I think that's where there's a danger in it becoming something that's quantified. You know, is any teacher going to really improve professionally within 35 hours? Well, who really knows? You know, it depends on how those 35 hours are spent. And I think putting a limit on it like that, well, A, it ensures that it's going to happen. Okay, that may be a good thing. But, you know, the downside is that it becomes exactly what it was intended not to be. You know, there's a bit of a dilemma there. And I really worry about how that dilemma is going to be resolved, because you could either bring it back and say, well, you don't have to do, you know, you don't have to do a certain amount of hours, in which case we might lose an awful lot of the ground that we've gained, or, you know, could come back and say, well, you actually got to do more hours, in which case it could actually become, it is now in a lot of situations whereby, you know, it's just a duty that has to be filled, it's a number of hours that have to be ticked off, and, you know, the whole gain for the teacher professional learning and the impact that that has on pupil learning might well be lost. So that's my worry. I just think it's a very difficult issue to resolve.
And Katrina, you know, you're at the forefront of the current changes to CPD, certainly right up to present day, heavily influenced by the Donaldson report, Teaching Scotland's Future, and the subsequent response from government. So you'll be, you and your team will be thinking around this all the time. But again, just sort of coming back to one of the other questions that the McCormick Review is posing about the current arrangements. I mean, you've touched on that in the number of hours, which is the kind of headline figure from the 2001 agreement. What are you doing, and what do you see your team doing in your opinion, talking as a professional in your own right, what would you want to say to the McCormick Review that you or your team are at the forefront of, that you think might ensure that leadership is developed better and that there are genuine improvements to the quality of teaching and learning across Scotland? And I mean, certainly I'm fascinated with the learning grounds and about how that might actually be potentially a highly effective form of CPD.
With reference to Donaldson, you know, we've identified four areas that we feel are, you know, crucial within the whole review, and these are leadership, the area of coaching and mentoring, whole issue of the impact of CPD, and then finally the idea of partnership working, which we're really interested in. So within the review, these are the four things that we think are things that, you know, we can work on and hopefully bring about improvement on. You know, within leadership, there's lots of really good work going on. At the moment, we're developing, this isn't an advert for CPD team, by the way, but just to give you an idea of the kind of work that we're involved in, we're developing a leadership framework at the moment, which isn't a standard, but it's a way of identifying leadership at different stages of the leadership journey and then exemplifying that, you know, what that looks like, what people are doing at different stages of the leadership journey. And also, you know, journey might look like from beginning to end within one example. So, you know, I think that's something really useful that that will be coming out quite soon, that, you know, that might go a long way to sort of feeding into the whole discussion around about leadership within the Donaldson Review and within teacher education. Within coaching and mentoring as well, you know, there's loads of stuff going on there. There's a whole Ellen Moore thing within LTS, which is, you know, kicking off right now. We've got learning rounds going on, which draws quite heavily on maybe more coaching, collaborative learning communities within school, you know, developing internal mechanisms for, for just helping each other improve through observation and discussion. So I think we're involved in quite a lot of work, which is well placed to look at a lot of what the Donaldson Review is recommending. Impact, I think, is probably the most important one. A lot of that is going to have to, we're going to have to develop quite a lot of sophisticated mechanisms for looking at impact. But, you know, really, it's got to come down to a really simple question that, you know, what CPD are you undertaking and what impact is that having on pupil learning? And, you know, that's really the bottom line. Is it improving pupil learning? If it's not, well, you know, we've really got to ask ourselves some hard questions about that. So it's quite a few things going on at the moment. And for me, well, it's a really exciting time because, I think these are all really, really interesting areas of work. And I feel quite lucky that I'm sort of part of all that. It's good stuff to be involved in.
Katrina, thanks very much for your contribution, and it'd be great if you maybe sort of mute your mic or whatever, just briefly, maybe while we wait to see if anyone else wants to
yeah, absolutely.
Just to remind anyone who's listening, everyone who's listening, this is a live AZE talk about the review into teacher employment being carried out by the McCormick Review, and it's looking at the 2001 McCrone Agreement. If you have an opinion at this stage of the evening on in particular the 2001 arrangements for CPD, maximum 35 hours, the idea of entitlement or duty, and also the arrangements which guaranteed probationer teachers a one-year contract following their time as a student teacher. If you haven't, as I've mentioned before, the McCormick Review has a whole list of questions that can be answered. A call for evidence which is available on the website, but I'm trying to leave everything fairly open this evening, so if you've got a view on the current arrangements on CPD and the opportunities for the start of a career for probationer teachers, then I would appreciate if in the next couple of minutes you dial 0131 208 1510, that's 0131 208 1510, or if you're on Twitter you can send your thoughts via an at reply or a hashtag reply to edutalker, or an email to edutalker, that's edutalkr @hotmail.co.uk. And certainly there's somebody trying to get through it at the moment, so it'd be great if you could dial in, you know who you and all we'll do is we'll just I'll just mute the microphone again, so things will go quiet for a couple of minutes. I'm sure anyone that's listening in is multitasking anyway at their computer, so there'll be plenty to get on with. So the line will go quiet for a couple of minutes, and then hopefully come back with another caller. So I've just mentioned that if you could just introduce yourself. And then we're looking at the new posts that were created from the Crohn's, so interesting to know your thoughts looking down 10 years down the line, and the creation of the of Chartered Teacher and the programme. But also at this point, just encouraging people to phone in with regards to NXB, and a little reminder with that. NXB, if the teachers agreement outlined the duties for all teachers at and it was a guide for local authorities to write up specific job descriptions. So if you've got thoughts on that as well, Dorothy, that would be great. Just before you start, if you'd like to get into discussion with Dorothy around NXB or Chartered Teacher, then feel free to phone in 0131 208 1510, or on Twitter you can send an at reply or hashtag edutalker, or if you'd like to send an email, it's edutalker, edutalkr @hotmail.co.uk. So, Dorothy, if you wouldn't mind just first introducing yourself and then give us your thoughts, please.
Okay. Well, I'm Dorothy Cole and I'm a Chartered Teacher. I teach in St. Peter's Primary School in Galashiels, and I'm also a member of the committee of the Association of Chartered Teachers, Scotland. I was trying to join in the conversation previously, but because I'm down in the borders, I think with her bandwidth isn't sufficient to allow streaming, but allows me more than 3 seconds at a time before it cuts out. That said, I think it's a fantastic opportunity to try to engage teachers from all over the place in a discussion about proposals and thinking about education as a whole. I think that although Chartered Teacher seems to have been around for a while, I think that because numbers are relatively small, it's quite difficult to assess the general impact of Chartered Teachers. But from of being part of the Act, I'm speaking to quite a lot of Chartered Teachers and hearing about the work that they're doing in schools, and I can easily understand the impact that, that they're having in the work that they're doing. Quite a lot of it is probably not easily visible, because quite a lot of it is in the classroom. But still very effective and very worthwhile all the same. So I think from that point of view, if the Chartered Teacher Programme was to continue and grow, it could only benefit the children in our schools, because we know that the quality of teachers is what makes the quality of education better. I think that one of the difficulties for a lot of chartered teachers, and we're hearing this from teachers who are part of ACTS, is that quite often head teachers are a bit vague about what chartered teachers can do. And I think that if the review of education as a whole and teachers' contracts as a whole might actually help chartered teachers to make known what they can do, and might help head teachers to know what they could, with chartered teachers, expect of them, and what chartered teachers could do in schools. I think that the focus on PRD as a crucial part of that, it will be very useful, and I think that perhaps people need to become more aware of the opportunities that PRD presents for looking at the strengths of the teacher, both in taking forward school improvements, but also how their particular strengths can be used to take forward the learning.
Dorothy, I'm looking at apologies if the sound breaks up a little bit, because I'm just opening up the current edition of Teaching Scotland from the GTC, because Ian Hallahan in East Renfrewshire is asking how many chartered teachers there are at the moment. And first of all, I'd like to ask invite Ian to phone in at an appropriate point in the next half hour or so. It would be great to hear his thoughts on aspects of the Macron agreement. I'm just going to check through Teaching Scotland. I'm sure it's quoted in this month's edition, and I believe it's around about 1,200 presently. But Dorothy, just returning to maybe a couple of specific questions that the McCormick Review are asking. They're looking at people's thoughts around impact. So maybe that's a degree of anything. We're asking everybody throughout Scottish how they feel the impact has been, and whether there has been a positive impact on the two following areas I would like you to maybe comment on. The McCormick Review is looking for evidence or opinions as to whether the Chartered Teacher Scheme, as they call it, has had a positive impact on A, retaining skilled professionals as classroom teachers, and B, and I know you've touched on this slightly already, learning and teaching quality across the school.
I think that it's undoubtedly helped to retain skilled professionals as classroom teachers, because for a long time the way to achieve promotion obviously was out of the classroom through management, and once a chartered teacher came in, then there was a way of attaining more status, I suppose. But actually what most chartered teachers, well, what a lot of chartered teachers have said is that they benefited from being valued as teachers, that their skills were being valued in the classroom. And so it's no longer the case that, you know, viewed as a more skilled professional, you have to be skilled in management. It is also good to be skilled as a classroom teacher. So I think that's very important to people. It also says a lot about the way that we look at education, doesn't it? If we explicitly value people who are skilled in the classroom.
Moving on, Dorothy, and as I say, I hope we're going to get a couple of calls in very shortly. I'm frantically messaging on Twitter to try and encourage a couple of people that are interested in the live stream and are listening in to actually phone in. We're probably quite slow moving through these different areas of the Crohn agreement, so we better look further into the original agreement. Just outline a couple of these, and sorry to put you on the spot. I know you're going up about charter teaching in particular, but what your thoughts would be on, for example, the duties that were outlined in Annex B, but also the career structure was clearly changed 10 years ago, particularly with the advent of charter teacher, but there were implications around principal teacher and probationer teacher, so if you've got any thoughts on that. But also getting into the nitty-gritty of it, it really affected all teachers. The McCrone Agreement, the Teachers Agreement of 2001, brought in the contractual 35-hour week for all teachers, and eventually got to the stage where all teachers would have a maximum class contact time of 22.5 hours, and then the allowance for preparation and correction time, no less than one third of class contact time. And also, maybe the contentious issue for some, and it might be interesting to see what other people's experiences and views on this are, but the idea about the remainder of your collegiate time being able to be undertaken at a time and place, sorry, preparation and correction time, sorry, being able to be undertaken at a time and place of the teacher's choosing. That was the phrase in the agreement. So is there anything there, Dorothy, that you'd like to pick up on and give us your thoughts on?
I think that being specific about the value of CPD and bringing recognising that it is part of a teacher's development and ought to be included in the teacher's contract is very useful. So it's no longer, something that you might want to do, it's something that you have to do as part of your professional development. I really think that's very valuable, and that time is allowed within your contract for that. I think that the fact of the being able to work at a place of your own choosing is actually very useful from the point of view of, for instance, when I'm trying to do development of GLOW, for example, it actually is much more efficient for me to do that using my computer system at home. Is to use the equipment that's provided in school, because that tends to be slower, and in many cases there's quite a demand on our computers by pupils in school time. So if I can spend some of my non-class contact time working somewhere else, that's very useful and much more efficient as well. I think that it allows having for things like CPD and class preparation gives an implicit value to these things, which is good. But of course, the number of hours that I spend still far exceeds those that are specified in my contract, and I'm sure that's the case for the vast majority of teachers. I know it's the case for a lot of my colleagues at school and many chartered teachers that I know too.
Well, I was just going to ask about the McCormick Review seems to be asking many questions in relation to the success of curriculum for excellence being introduced, and I'm just wondering your thoughts on whether any aspects of the teachers' agreement you think of curriculum for excellence and should be altered. But just before I ask you that, I think Ian is actually calling in, so if you wouldn't mind just muting your phone or just taking it away from your mouth, for a moment, we'll just bring Ian back into the discussion. Ian Hallahan, Ian, are you there? How are you this evening?
I'm a bit under the cosh, a bit hectic tonight, but I thought I'd just phone up and give you. I feel sorry for Dorothy when I was listening to the stream, and she was saying, is there anyone else phoning in? Is there anyone else phoning in? So I thought I'd phone up and help her out a bit.
That's fantastic. What I'm going to do here at the moment, Ian, is just I've asked Dorothy, I've mentioned to Dorothy that in the McCormick Review, call for evidence, a lot of the questions seem to be asking respondents or potential to comment on the extent to which certain aspects of the teacher agreement either promote the implementation or inhibit the implementation of critical rights.
I'm a teacher in a special school just outside Glasgow. I've been teaching for, this will be a fifth year. I've also managed to squeeze in a postgraduate diploma in educational support at the same time as working. Managed to get myself landed with the role of union rep for the last couple of years as well. So I was at a couple of meetings recently, and I met another meeting last night. And with my union rep hat on, and I mean it's been a real eye opener, I have to say, seeing that side of what's going on, you know, not just hearing through the press, but actually there was actually quite a good insight into the BBC education debate that was on the other night, and there was some complaint. Saying, you know, why was there no one from the EIS involved? Why was no one from the EIS saying anything? And it was quite interesting to hear from the president, Kay Barnett, to say that it had been an editing thing. So there appears to be some kind of a media slant there. When I'm looking at it, the first thing that I have to wonder about is the 35-hour working week. Because I'm not sure I know any teachers who do a 35-hour working week, certainly not on a regular basis. There's the time and place thing. I find that quite convenient. Like Dorothy was saying, there's a lot of pressure on the spare computers in our school, the ones that aren't in a classroom. So being able to go home or to go around to my parents or something with my laptop and just log on to their Wi-Fi and get on the stuff without having to find somewhere to do it. And then, of course, there's the whole issue of, is your software up to date? Are the websites you're looking at, are you going to be able to look at them with the web browser you've got? Are they going to be blocked? There is a bit of a flip side to that. You know, at home you'll find a great resource and you'll go to use it at school and it'll be blocked. But that's just one of those things that's a different issue. And it's great at our school. The senior management team are fine with that. There's no real, you know, I mean, I'll walk out the door and say, I'm a wee son getting a computer and all that, right? Because they understand. But I mean, I have heard there are some schools where it's kind of report to the HEDIS office and you'll be out and get like a pass signed almost sort of effort. And it's like a pressure being put on you not to do it. You know, there's honouring the spirit of an agreement and then there's honouring the letter of it. And they're obviously two different things.
I'll just ask Dorothy if you would like to come in and anything that Ian's just said, be any of the questions I was prompting you with about 10 minutes ago.
Just to reinforce what Ian said about the fact that I don't think anybody manages to do what they're supposed to do in the hours they're supposed to be doing it in. Most people are spending many more hours than that. I have found in my school that there's a very positive attitude to teachers going outside the school to do their non-class contact time just because it's actually more convenient. And apart from the pressure on computers in our school, there's actually a pressure on actual space because apart from classes, there are so many other professions school who need a place to work, that actually getting teachers a place to work when they're having a non-class contact time can be a problem as well. Even though various support staff and speech and language therapists and occupation therapists and so on are shoved into quite small spaces, extra spaces in cupboards and corners of libraries, there is no more space.
Just before I ask if Ian wants to come back in, I mentioned a wee while ago about the emphasis on some of the questions within the Cormac Review on the delivery or the implementation of the curriculum for excellence. Again, just to ask you whether you think that there's any aspects of this particular area from the Crone that you think inhibits or indeed works particularly well, the implementation. And also maybe just a quick question for Dorothy. I mean, Dorothy, you were asking, you mentioned earlier on about possible benefit of teachers being communicated to teachers through the contracts that they have to do some CPD, and that seems to maybe conflict slightly with what Katrina was saying. I think Katrina was inferring that that maybe damages the culture of professional learning if it's this big sort of timed expectation. And so I wonder about your thoughts on that. And also, Ian, you mentioned there about doing the postgraduate diploma, so to what extent do the arrangements in the Macron, the contractual arrangements in the Macron agreement encourage you, or did it encourage you to study?
The postgrad diploma, I don't know to what extent there was a knock-on from the Macron agreement itself, except in so much as it was quite established by then and the value of CPD was recognised by the employers. So my school were very supportive, and indeed the local authority were very supportive. I managed to get time out of class, to attend classes at Jordan Hill for most of the modules I was doing, and there was cover provided for my class. Otherwise it would have been evening and weekend classes of modules, and it would definitely have been a harder slog if I'd had to do it that way, and it would probably have been more pressure as well, given that I would have been having the full workload all at the same time. Having said that, the work you were doing to get that kind of qualification, the work you were doing over and above the time that you were given out of class, I mean, it was significant. You know, you see this 35 hours held up, the 35 hours per annum, which is the maximum CPD that a teacher's to do, and I mean, I did more than 35 hours in one module, and it was four modules a year, and so to say that you're putting a maximum in what CPD you're doing, the wide kind of definition that I would certainly define CPD as, you know, I'd be looking at anything that impacted my practice, to say that you're only doing a maximum of 35 hours is a bit disingenuous. But the other thing is, you know, if your maximum's 35, and that's the only thing that it states, you will do a maximum of 35 hours, what's the minimum? And, you know, if you go and ask people, there's not many who are able to say anything to you about that. There's not many people able to tell you.
I don't think I had actually ever thought that it was a maximum 5 hours. But somehow I had only ever thought it was 35 hours and haven't questioned it further. I would still say that lots of teachers who are developing professionally would spend more hours than that.
Katrina, let's come back with a question just to pose, which may get picked up by the Cormac Review when they listen to the recording, or anyone else that's listening towards the end of this evening's show. Katrina's question is, has there been any research conducted into the value of collegiate time? Do we know what questions, if any, have been asked as they try to find out the efficacy of this new or relatively new notion of collegiate time or contracts? And she says that it would be very interesting to find out. Anyway, I'm just going to bundle a couple of other aspects of the teachers' agreement from 2001. That Ian or Dorothy, or even Katrina again if she wants to phone in, or anyone else that's listening might want to give their opinions on. So the couple of ones that we'll just pick out to finish with, we've got the teacher's agreement created an additional post for support staff, so classroom assistant, clerical staff and lab technicians. And that would come into the idea of certain tasks no longer being within the domain of the classroom teacher, and that was Annex E of the teacher's agreement. or tacit shouldn't be carried out routinely by teachers. So it'll be interesting to see 10 years down the line for Dorothy and Ian as classroom practitioners to this day. That's maybe had on their ability to do the job to the best. And also, I suppose, slightly more removed from the everyday life of classroom teachers, the Teachers Agreement also established the Scottish Negotiating Committee for Teachers, the SNCT, made up of teacher unions, local authority representatives through COSLA, and the Scottish Government. And this was a negotiating body on teachers' pay and conditions, and also drilled down to the local level with the establishment of local negotiating committees for teachers, and there's very defined roles about what aspects of the pay and conditions could be negotiated at either of these bodies. And just looking at the other areas of the agreement that we've maybe not covered, and still looking for more views on the on charter teacher. And also going back to the kind of teachers' roles that the cementing of the idea of the principal teacher or the changing of that particular role. And also we've not heard much about back 10 years ago when the probationer teacher was established, and that requirement that all probationers should be guaranteed a 1 year training contract, as I think it was termed. So it'd be interesting to hear some thoughts on that. Ian and Dorothy, would either of you like to give your thoughts on these final areas?
The area that you've mentioned there, David, that's maybe striking the biggest note of fear into the staff, certainly in my school, is the one about support staff. Obviously we are a special school, and support, I was about to say, it's pretty significant in everything we do, but in a way it's like the bedrock of everything we do. Without the right amount of support staff and the right kind of support staff, I mean, our school just wouldn't be able to function. Certainly not in any meaningful teaching and learning way. Having worked as an assistant before I went on to the postgrad at Jordan Hill, and having worked as a classroom assistant and having seen the support staff previous to that in the schools I've been in, what I've noticed since the Macron agreement came in is the big change in the kinds of things that the support staff are doing. You know, I mean, beforehand it was all very much photocopying and, putting stuff up on walls and that kind of almost the administrative type side of things. Where I've certainly noticed in the schools I've been involved in since, it's very much focused on benefiting the pupils and their learning. When I was doing the classroom assistant job, I was actually under the control of the support for learning teacher, and she thought the support would best help the pupils that it was going to. And I think that has been a big, big effect of the agreement. The thing that worries me about it all is with everything that's going on, the education system is running under a massive amount of goodwill, and I'm just worried that with the proposed changes already that are under ballot just now with the EIS and with the pensions issue that's just rearing up, and then with the McCormick review coming again, I just feel that this goodwill that has been built up on both sides, on the employer side and on the teacher side, is going to get frittered away, and it's going to damage the system as a whole.
Well, I'd quite agree with that, actually. And although you say that the support staff are very important in your school, because it's a special school, so many children are now included in our mainstream school that we couldn't function without our support staff either. Children who need to have an adult beside them in order to access the curriculum. That makes it really crucial that you have high quality people to do those jobs. And I have to say, for not very much money, like you, the current financial restrictions mean that we're fighting for every bit of time that we've got for children. teacher is using the school budget money to buy in hours to support children in school, just so that they can access the curriculum. So I don't know if that's a function of Macron, or if it's just a changed attitude to our expectations of children in school now. But either way, our assistants and our auxiliaries are vital for the children in our school.
Just received another message on Twitter. It would be interesting to put you both in the spot, see your thoughts on this. You guys come back to what I was talking there about probationers, and I'm sure both of you have worked with probationer teachers within the last 10 years, or I appreciate with Ian, well, similar in many ways in terms of the establishment that we both work in, that it's not so easy to link in with teacher induction schemes. But what have been your experiences of the induction scheme, and would you agree with Donaldson that the scheme in its present form is held in high esteem?
Well, having been through the probationer scheme, I had a pal who had become a teacher before, and I remember it was 3-4 years down the line, and he was still picking up a bit of supply here and a bit of supply there, and struggling to get through the hours to finally get himself fully registered. And I remember thinking, it's just horrific. And because most of the stuff he'd be picking up would be short term, so when he was trying to get people to fill in reports and things for him, it was very much a case of, even if they agreed to do it, they didn't necessarily have a terribly good handle on him. Because, you know, he might only have been there a couple of weeks. Whereas I certainly found my probation experience to be a hugely positive one. I ended up in Skye, having ticked the Go Anywhere box. I had the most amazing placement with the most supportive staff, and people couldn't do enough for me. On the other hand, I'm sure it's not the case that every probationer finds that their experience is so positive. And I can find yourself in an establishment where those positive things weren't in place. I could imagine it could be a pretty horrific experience, because it is. I mean, it's an intense year. So while there are, certainly for me, there was huge positives, I could see that it could be something that could be quite negative for people as well. But certainly compared to the alternative, where it's just picking up a day here, and building it up until you've filled it up, I would certainly say it's a much better system than that. Of course, what it has done is store up the problem. So now it's not when you're going through your probationary year that you're struggling to pick up work. Now it's after you leave your probationary year, and I think that's certainly something that needs to be looked at and needs to be addressed. Employment prospects for post probationers.
In our school, we've had one or two probationers for the last several years, I think that we've had some very high quality teachers, but we've also had some probationers who actually did any of us have a realistic idea of what teaching was like when we went into it? But they have. Some of them have had a poor idea of what the reality of teaching was like. And I think that I don't quite know why it's possible for the ITE establishment to have that variety of teachers coming out into schools. It seems to me that maybe there should be some filtering going on before the teachers get to that in a school and finding that it's really not what they had thought it would be. How can that happen? At the same time, as you have teachers coming into school who are fantastic, and you have a huge amount of creativity and understanding and reflective ability, and are a great pleasure to work with. So I'm not quite sure what makes that huge gap.
What has been the overall impact of the 2001 teachers agreement? So just before I come to you for that, and it would be lovely if Katrina on Twitter wouldn't mind putting a tweet or two out there. I'm just going to just recap on what we've done tonight. So this is a very experimental kind of, I would say, innovative, thanks to the people, the colleagues that have called in today. We'll be taught and tailed, as podcasters say, turned into an MP3 file, and will be sent along with all the there hasn't been anything on the email, but anything, any comments that have been tagged EduTalker on Twitter, they'll also be added to the audio and sent to the secretary of the review team over the weekend. And so it's important at this point to say to everybody that's contributed that if there's any text or any segment of audio that they would like not to be made public beyond tonight, to just let me know later on this evening. So it doesn't need to be a full contribution, but if there was any small part you'd like removed from the public sphere, then just let me know after we finish. Also, in terms of the text responses supporting the audio to go to the comment review team, I'll leave the lines open, so to speak, until 10 o'clock tonight. So if there's any ongoing or Twitter that's tagged EduTalker, then that'll also be included, anything that goes in up until 10 o'clock this evening. Always, like within this particular project, which has no hierarchy and no company behind it, no finance, except a few pennies I put in myself, the actual cost of this form of consultation or response to a call to evidence this evening totaled, the total cost was around about £11.50. So that was about £1.50 for a Skype call going out to Iperio, which is where the live broadcast is, and £10 to create a Skype-in phone number, which, as you will notice, is an Edinburgh number, and that allows anybody from around the world to dial that number and go through my Skype account to this live stream online. So quite a good use of money, I would say. Of course, because Katrina, Dorothy and Ian have called in from their own phones, then they unfortunately bear the cost of dialing in, but hopefully they've got plenty of free minutes. And quickly go to back to Twitter, because there's a couple of tweets in there. One of which I'm not going to read out. So that she was fascinated listening to Ian talking about the role of support staff. It's definitely the same in my part. But she finished. Katrina finishes off by asking, "How can we?" Ian certainly mentioned, emphasised the notion of goodwill, particularly with support staff, ensuring that the system functions. And I think, following on from listening to that, Katrina's asked what improvements are made through sheer goodwill. So that's Katrina signing off with that thought. Dorothy or Ian, would either of you like to finish off with a final thought about the overall impact of the Macron agreement?
Certainly. I mean, when the Macron agreement was introduced, I wasn't a teacher. So I was on the outside looking in. And certainly for someone who started on the outside looking in and then came into the education sphere while this was going on, and then now I'm out, when I'm kind of at the other side, as it's the 10 years coming to an end. Certainly my perspective of the professionalism of a teacher has changed totally. And I don't think it's all down to me entering the industry, and I don't think it's all down to Macron. I mean, my mum was a teacher, so I was certainly never one of these people who thought it was, oh yeah, 9 to 3 and you've got all those holidays. But I don't think until you're in the middle of it you appreciate quite how much thrashing about under the water goes on to make sure that smooth swan sails across the pond. But definitely, I mean, from teachers I've known and spoken to from when before I was in the profession myself and since as well. Certainly the notion of CPD has been taken on and has made a big difference. You know, it used to be you'd go on a course once every couple of years, maybe, if the school sent you. Whereas this is a big buy-in, and it's the tied in with the PRD scheme. So the idea is it's a constant moving forward, improvement, with a big focus on it's not so much the work you're doing anymore as to what benefit is occurring. So I think that's a big shift, and it's certainly changed from being the only thing a teacher was really considered as a respected profession was if somebody needed their passport photo sent.
Okay. Thanks very much for that, Ian. Dorothy, would you like to come in for the last word?
What responsibility? Really, just to echo what Ian was saying there, that there is a lot of thrashing about going on under the water. I liked his analogy there, so that this one could come across. And I think that actually some of Macron has given this one a bit more direction than it had, a bit more support than it had before, perhaps. There's so much you could see.
Thanks very much, Dorothy. Okay, we'll leave it there. I'm so glad that we've tried this out tonight, and we've run the EduTalker discussions in the past. We kind of crowdsource a panel beforehand, and they've all worked really well. Today was a real kind of a risk, but here it's an experiment, so it doesn't matter so much. But I'm absolutely delighted the way it's worked out. Great thanks to Ian, Dorothy and Katrina for taking up a large chunk of their Thursday night. We're still not at the weekend. I'm very grateful for that. I'm delighted that it appears to have worked out. It was good to give people a little bit of breathing space at the start of this edition, just to think about whether they would like to take part or how they could. We've had fantastic contributions from three professionals who I greatly respect and admire, and I think that this will be packaged nicely for the McCormick Review team, and hopefully they appreciate the time and effort that everybody's spent on just allowing each of us to talk and to give our thoughts, and I think in many ways that must be richer than the way that the questionnaires can be structured. So thanks very much again. If anybody wants to keep the conversation going on Twitter for a while, that's great. As I say, I'll include any of that text into the response. Thanks again to everybody. Next EduTalker will be in a couple of months' time. We'll be back to a panel discussion if anybody wants to volunteer a topic. Have a good evening. Take care.